Hello, everyone, and welcome to 99% Effective. And here we are in June, and it's kind of not been a great June.
No.
I'm not digging it with my convertible.
It's cold.
Well, we had April and May. We're like, amazing. So everyone was like, oh, it's going to be such a great summer. And then June came and Mother Nature was like, ah.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. But the school year's over, and we're continuing our parent perspective.
Yeah.
And do you want to talk a little bit about our guest speaker and what the topic is today?
Sure. So our guest speaker today is Paula Schaefer, and she is a mom of three, and one of her children, William, is currently in elementary school, and she is going to give us a very honest perspective of what that was like for her and for William, and I think it's going to be very helpful for parents who are in a similar boat.
That's awesome. I'm excited to meet her. And then we're, you know, after this, we're going to continue to the next topic, I think, is going to be transitioning from elementary school mm-hmm. into those middle school years.
Yes. Dun,
dun, dun. So without further ado, we'd like to introduce you to our guest speaker. So I'm so excited to continue our parent perspective.
Me too. Excellent guest today, Ms. Paula Schaefer. Jumping feet first again. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Sure. So I'm a program manager at a child advocacy center in our community. And I have three children. My youngest just turned 7, and she's going to be going into second grade. My middle is who I'll be talking most about today. And he is 9, and he'll be going into 5th grade. Which,
what's his name?
His name is William.
William, okay.
And he is going to be starting 5th grade, which in North Haven is the last year of elementary school.
Yeah.
So, it's been an interesting journey at his elementary school, but it's crazy to see that he's grown up so fast. And then my oldest, Ben, he is 11 and finishing up his first year in the middle school. They keep me busy.
I say, you sound like you're a busy mom.
Yeah, definitely. And we do a lot of extracurricular activities together, but more non-traditional. We do golf and chess, and then we're really active in the Scouts, both Cub Scouts and Girl Scouts.
So tell us a little bit about William and why we asked you to come here today.
Absolutely. So, you know, ever since William was younger, and probably even before 1, because I've been thinking a lot about him, something was a little different. You know, he was my 2nd, so I had some comparative, but I can tell you that my oldest was easy. Mm-hmm. Even compares to my 3rd as well, just easy. And so William, he cried a lot. You know, I'd go to the pediatrician and I would talk about kind of what was going on, and he would grow out of it, just wait till he's older. He's a little colicky. And then he turned 1, and it never really changed. And so mm-hmm. we said, you know, something just doesn't seem right here. Like, he still hasn't stopped crying. He gets really irritated and was having a hard time communicating and would throw really big tantrums even as he would grow. And most would say, you know, he should have grown out of that phase by now, or he shouldn't be having such big, very defiant is kind of how it started to evolve at this young age. And so we had him evaluated early on, probably in his 2s. And through that evaluation, I worked with that individual. And we ended with a diagnosis of oppositional defiance disorder. Mm-hmm. And it was a real dialogue, actually, between us, because she was willing to go either way. But one of the things I learned very early on is that, you know, what helped with the diagnosis is getting services in the school. Mm-hmm. And you'll see how I talk about him, and as life evolves, even getting into the elementary school, that diagnosis really does make a difference to how schools categorize him and services that he can get awarded, because that's part of what made it almost, quote unquote, easy to get into the special education 3 to preschool mm-hmm. because he had a diagnosis. Right. And she said, you know, maybe he'll grow out of it. Maybe it's not quite the right diagnosis, but what he's demonstrating to me is pretty characteristic. So we got into preschool in that program, and he did okay, but they were fairly convinced at that time that there was nothing wrong with him mm-hmm. and that he was a typical kid who had constipation issues. So I had a pretty big fight with the school right? And when he was 4 years old, and hence kind of learning early that advocating is so important.
Paul, you bring up, if I can just interject. Yeah.
Please do.
What was a problem you had with the school, just in case there are parents that are listening that are coming up against this as well? Like, what specifically happened?
So he was in a half-day program from 9 to 12, and I did an in-home daycare for all of my kids. Okay. And my in-home provider had all of them for a long period of time, so I had a personal relationship with her, who knew William really well. And they would say that he was irritable and throw his tantrums because he's constipated. Mm-hmm. And that once he'd have a bowel movement, everything was going to be fine. But he'd always have his bowel movement after 12 when he was gone.
Right.
And mm-hmm. back at my in-home daycare, who would then say, no, that doesn't resolve the issue. I've known him since he was 6 mm-hmm. weeks old. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just who he is.
Right.
So much that I signed a release for them to consult with my pediatrician. I had spoken mm-hmm. with my pediatrician, and they would not take no for an answer until the pediatrician said, no, he does not have a bowel issue. His bowels are just fine. It's something more than that.
That must have been... It
goes back to, really, parents do know their child best. Mm-hmm. And this is where you have to advocate with the school systems, like, listen to me and validate what I'm saying because I know my child.
Exactly. And a prime example we used back then, and as we were in preschool and getting ready to get into kindergarten, was this control issue. And he was a child who wasn't potty trained until about a month before kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
It was a choice. Mm-hmm. It was such a clear choice for him because he woke up one day and he was potty trained. There was nothing else about it. And there was nothing that we convinced him to do. There was no conversation.
It's when he was ready.
It was when he was ready.
Yeah.
And he was. And so when he was around that age 2 and we'd need to put him in the stroller, we would argue with him. Sit in the stroller. You have to sit in the stroller. I don't want to sit in the stroller. You have to. We have to move faster. And so my husband, one day he said, you know what, William? You can go in the stroller with the straps on, or you can go in the stroller with the straps off. Completely your choice. And he'd be like, I don't want the straps. Okay. And he'd sit in the stroller.
So it was, right.
Okay. It was a different choice.
Yeah.
So it was the choice of straps instead of the choice that he thought he was fighting, the choice of the stroller. And as soon as you change that dynamic for him, and that has lasted through his life to today, mm-hmm. it was a control issue. And that's what it was about going to the bathroom, too, that they didn't see. It was a control issue. He wanted to go when he was comfortable and when he was relaxed, and that's when he went, and it was not related to him not being able to go. It was that he had control over that.
So we're going to jump forward a little bit because we want to talk about the transition from elementary school, from preschool into elementary school. So explain, how did you feel with that? I mean, because it's scary. It's you know.
So it was scary. I didn't have that advocate for me like I did when I transitioned from birth to 3 into the school mm-hmm. system, which no matter who that advocate is, it's just really nice to have another individual at the table with you.
So you felt like you were going it alone.
Yeah.
And they hear things that you may not hear during those meetings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so one thing I did do was, because we were having this argument about what his needs were, I just continued to ask the school system and had multiple meetings with them about what were my options. And it's really hard because you don't know your options, especially when they're so young and you're a new mom in this world of entering elementary schools and entering into services. You don't know what the services are until you find out what the services are. And they're not so forthcoming with mm-hmm. telling you what they are.
Yeah.
And so because he's a November baby,
mm-hmm.
I was very interested in keeping him back.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved, and to this day, would have loved for him to have one more preschool year. But that was not an option. They said that he had his pre-K 3 and he had his pre-K 4 and it was time to go to kindergarten. And if you didn't want to send him to kindergarten, then you can go find an independent school.
So I just want to jump back for a minute. So mm-hmm. he's a November baby. So when did he start his preschool?
When he turned 3 in November.
Okay. So then he did that half a year, right?
Yep.
So spring.
Yep.
Then he did a whole other year.
Yep. When he was...
He turned 4.
He turned 4 in November
mm-hmm.
and did that school, and that would have been his pre-K 4 year.
Right.
And so he was still four when he September came.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of kids in my town
stay
back a year. And not stay back, but like their parents keep them and send them to kindergarten that next year, which is what I wanted to do.
Okay.
But they wouldn't let him have another year of special education services. And so they gave me the option. They said, well, you can come into the school every day and you can get all your services, but we can't transport him there. And, you know, if you send him anywhere other than the public school, you're on your own. And so I looked at private schools that did kindergarten and then was thinking about putting him in. But that was so overwhelming to me to think about how I was going to manage. I work full time, which I've maintained throughout these years, which is a challenge in itself.
Mm-hmm.
How would I do that? And me and my husband, we toured school. We toured three schools and finally was like, what are my options here? Like, am I just putting him into regular ed? Like, what does special education look like? What are my options? And then all of a sudden, there was a program. Because I asked the right questions and I got there and I was insistent and I found out about the program that he's in now, which he was outplaced to a program for therapeutic learning.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't learn about that until the very end when like I was finally like, I really don't want to outplace him to not being in the school because I just don't think I can pull it off. I mean, I would do anything they made me do, but it wasn't till I was in that PPT with the special education teacher for pre-K-4. I brought this is how wonderful my in-home was. She was fantastic. She came with me.
Was your in-home part of the school system?
No. My in-home provider did the afternoons with him, did 12 to 5 for him every day for 3 and 4. Like I kept him in the in-home because she was outstanding.
Okay.
She was like another mom to him and totally got him, which is what I needed. And she was able to advocate for me, which was even better because it's not just mom, you know, oh, mom, she's complaining. She says this, she says that. She'd say, no, I'm with him 12 to 5 every day. Like, these are what he needs. And so we came upon that program. And I said, great, let's do that. And I was able to advocate for a one-to-one para all day in an outplaced school for a program that was going to accommodate for his needs.
I'm just sitting here and I give you so much credit because you stayed the course. First you had to get the pediatrician to help back you because they wouldn't believe mom. And then you had to have your afternoon, your in-home come in because again, they wouldn't believe mom or listen to what mom was saying. Just to simply get the best supports for him in elementary school.
Correct.
So he was essentially outplaced. He wasn't going to a town school.
He goes to a town school in North Haven that is not our home school. So our home school is Clintonville.
Okay.
And our Montaweese is where he goes. And my other children went to Clintonville.
Okay.
So
we were Clintonville people as well.
Yeah.
And when my son was going through the school system, they did not have that program. Because I remember hearing, you know, later on, I was like, oh, that's good. Okay.
Yep. And what's great about it is that they have a consult to a BCBA, which is really important if you know that that exists and how to access it, which is we'll talk more about kind of as we dive into what my experience has been getting into the elementary school. But I won that battle.
Yeah.
And that was something in itself to me to finally know that I was going to get him there. And that he was going to have services and he was going to have a one-to-one. And I got to meet with the special education teacher that was going to be his teacher over the summer. And I had my plans. All my ducks were in a row. And then the week before school started, she left.
Oh.
And that was very instrumental in for me learning what it means to be in the public school system, maybe school systems in general.
Mm-hmm.
But you've always got to be on your toes because he had a substitute special education teacher for 2 months, replaced by another special education teacher, where it was her first time, I think, working with this population. And so it was a lot of transitions for the school to go through to have three different special education teachers in kindergarten for a mom who really just wanted to know what was happening. And I asked a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And And as I've said to all of the people I interact with, when advocating for my son, I am not angry and I'm going to ask a lot of questions and I'm going to be really pushy. And then I'm going to say, thank you for all that you do for my son, but I don't accept anything until I accept it. And like, it's a hard balance as a parent to feel comfortable in those shoes. And I still don't feel comfortable in those shoes, but that's what you have to do.
So with all those changes with the teacher, how did you do during that time? And what did you do? That's a lot of change. All of a sudden you need a plan B.
It was really hard. It was me. I have the luxury of having a friend who has a BCBA certification. I have friends that are special education teachers. And it was a lot of offline conversations. Mm-hmm. I reached out to the telephone number where you can talk to advocates on the phone. I can't think of what that is.
Oh, I don't know.
It'll come to me. Yeah. I'll think about it.
That'll be good to put in the show notes too.
Yes. So there's a telephone number where you can reach out and you can an advocate and they'll answer all of your questions and it's free of charge and it really puts you in a direction. Or if you have questions about the legal system, like they research things for you and they help you. You don't get assigned to an advocate because if you call back, you get who answers the phone for you. But it's just definitely a resource to have. I actually learned that from a friend of mine who was also had a child who had special needs. And so, you know, the best thing I did in that first year was asked everybody under the sun who had kids with disabilities, who were in school systems, who were special education teachers, because that's where I got my knowledge from, just from asking and having peers and learning what I could to advocate, learning that it's okay to ask for 4 PPTs in 1 year.
Yes. Not the one that they make it.
Correct.
Oh, you have your annual.
Correct.
Okay, no, I can ask, you know. Yeah.
I'm a good mom for 3 to 4 a year. That's who I am. And I try to be accommodating to the school. Mm-hmm. And so, and if you have a collaborative case manager or special education teacher, they collaborate with you.
Yes.
And they've worked on dates and I want to work with them. I'm not one who wants to say like, this is when I want to have it. This is how I want to have it. Mm-hmm. But I know when I want it. I know when I have questions. I know when things are hard and I want it documented. So that's the other thing you learn.
Documentation.
Everything needs to be documented because as my experience happened and it happens multiple times throughout my 6 years in elementary school or 5 going to be 6 for him, you never know when the next case manager is going to come. You never know when your hair is going to change and everything needs to be in writing because if it wasn't, it didn't happen.
I think I probably have said this so many times on this podcast, but it always comes up and I remind parents all the time, even if you happen to talk to the parent about something when you're picking your child up or talk to their special ed teacher or their regular ed teacher or the principal in the hallway. Oh yeah, we'll do that. We'll take care of that. You have to go back and write an email and say, I just want to summarize the conversation we just had and put it in writing. And, you know, and then the other important piece of your PPT and the IEP is there's that parent piece that you could put your input in. And I tell parents, type it up beforehand and say, this is what I want to be put into the IEP. Because they'll put you like on the spot and say, well, what do you want on this? And you're like, I don't know, you know? So I tell people, so again, it's documentation, documenting everything.
Well, and I've really started to treat it like a business meeting because...
Yep. Absolutely.
That's what it is. Like you have to keep yourself organized and know what your questions are in advance. I can tell you that because my son has so many services, my very first in-person meeting at the elementary school was on a long conference table where everybody was seated before I got there. You have Clintonville representative, principal, PT, speech, special education, regular education. I think there was one more, but it was around 7 of them all sitting at the table. And then they brought me in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, oh, I'm on the podcast. Nobody can see my face. Oh my goodness, yeah. Is how I felt. I was shaking. I had my papers like
shaking.
And I mean, I'm an organized individual, a little bit type A. And I was ready, but I wasn't ready for that. And so like now I type up all my questions before I get there. I email my questions now before I get there. Because then they have them. And so if they don't have the answers, they have an opportunity to get the answers for me, which has been really helpful to me, mm-hmm. and starts the dialogue. And our PBTs always start with the parent concerns. And I'll be like, well, you have my questions. Let's just go through them. Like, I don't want the answers beforehand. So I always send them with about 24 hours in advance. And I also refresh myself with my IEP about 24 hours beforehand, mm-hmm. because then it's fresh in my head, too. Of what I want to know and go through that and make notes on it so that if I look at the IEP again afterwards, that everything's been addressed, everything's written in there, and then I can follow up. And, you know, I do feel for the team that I'm working for and working with, because on a good team, they actually appreciate the notes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing it to be mean. It really is for my protection. And I think that a good team appreciates that. Because mm-hmm. you're helping them too, because they have a caseload, and it's not that William's their only child, and I do know that. And so working together and being on the same page is so important. And when you find that team that works, it really does help improve the care in the elementary
Absolutely.
School.
How did William do with the transition from pre-K into the elementary school?
It was a really long time ago, and nothing necessarily stands out to me, because he was in the classroom already in preschool, because in third and fourth preschool, pre-K 3 and pre-K 4 was a classroom environment.
Okay.
And that was a typical kids and atypical kids together. So he was used to that.
But he went to a different school.
But then it was a different one. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that was Green Acres.
Yeah.
Now he went to Montawese. He took a van instead of a bus, mm-hmm. But he took a van to preschool. So that was the same for him, but nothing that stands out so much. I mean, he had a lot of pullout services. They mm-hmm. did a lot of services in those 2 years beforehand. So I think it was okay. I mean, he also had like a fantastic kindergarten teacher.
Right.
And that makes the difference too, is that advocating for your regular education teacher mm-hmm. is also something that's really important when you have a child who has special needs, because there's many different types of teachers, different style of teaching, and there's no wrong style to teach.
Right.
There's the right style for your child. Mm-hmm. And he needs a very concrete, rewards-based teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I got very lucky, or they were really in tune to William when assigning him his regular education teachers, because his kindergarten teacher and his first grade teacher were just, he is the sweetest boy who can be so angry inside.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were able to acknowledge that about him and they were able to work with him on that, it made all the difference when he was in his regular education classes.
So you clearly excel at having to change direction and not knowing quite, you know, not knowing what it's going to hold, you know, a different teacher, having to persevere when you were told no multiple times. So you gave us a really good snapshot of that first year, some of the struggles and challenges, especially I think what you said about the PPT was exceptional, having those notes going in, the honesty of feeling that intimidation when you're walking into a room full of people like that. Was there anything else in the elementary years that kind of took you by surprise that you weren't expecting, that you're like, whew, this was not what I had planned for, but I'm glad I did this because I can share this experience with other parents and help them through it?
So the hardest time in elementary school was when I did not agree with his service plan at all.
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
So when I talk about my win going into kindergarten, mm-hmm. That made me happy. When I lost, it was a much harder battle. So COVID was first and second grade for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when we transitioned back into elementary school, they the end of COVID, that end of the year, they were not transitioning to special education. They were not transitioning to specials. So they weren't going to gym or music or anything like that. They were eating lunch at their desks and they weren't allowed to hang out with kids. Like they all had to be in their bubbles. Oh, that was William's dream. Like he did not have to talk to anybody. He didn't have to move. He had his little desk. He was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what they said. He's great.
Oh.
So he doesn't need
kind of use that.
He didn't need services anymore.
Oh.
Everything is just great. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
I am certain that when you put him back into having to transition into his specials and you want him to do group reading lessons with other children or go to recess and share, that's not going to go well.
Mm.
Nope. No, no, he's fine. He doesn't need para support anymore. We're going to take him from one-to-one para all day to 1 hour a day because he's just going to
thrive.
Yeah. He was going to thrive. Whew. I was not happy.
I could see your blood boiling from here.
You feel it.
About it.
It wasn't a good time for me.
No.
So I thought, I wrote up everything. I said that I needed my data in advance for why they were going to pull his services. I said that I needed to look at his new IEP and advance the PPT. And you know what they said? No, that's illegal.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
I asked for my data and my IEP 3 days in advance of my PPT. And they said, no, that's illegal. Oh, I know.
Oh, no one can see my face.
No one
right
can
now,
see my face.
If you did, it's, yeah.
So, finally, the day before I get my IEP before the meeting, and this is when they confirmed that they didn't want to tell me in advance that they were going to cut him down to 1 hour. They were trying to keep it secret so I couldn't get so angry. So I'm boiling, and I was like, okay, I'm ready. And this was virtual.
Uh-oh.
This was virtual. So that was my very last virtual meeting, too, because and Nav is like, no way. Now you're never going to have a virtual meeting again. And so we're in the meeting. And the first thing I say when everybody, you know, millions of people, little tiny heads everywhere on the screen. And I go, oh, by the way, I'm going to be audio recording this. You needed to tell us that in advance. And I was like, oh, shoot. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I did. But they didn't know they could send me my data in advance. So I thought that we were going to, I thought that's how this worked. So they had to scramble because if I audio record it, they need to audio record it. And I said, oh, well, if you're not ready, we can reschedule. They were not interested in rescheduling this meeting. So we had to pause and then we had to get their audio recording on. And then, because this was a very long meeting, they screen shared the data that they didn't send to me in advance because they didn't want me to see it. And I said, I don't accept this service plan. And they said, well, we went back and forth. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just letting you know. Maybe I wasn't as calm. Let's be honest, guys.
Yeah,
this was a really intense meeting.
Yeah.
And I'm going to own.
Well, they were taking things away.
That at the time, I was told to stop berating the special education teacher in this meeting because it got a little hot.
Mm-hmm.
But they also didn't share with me anything, and I was really, really angry. So
you call that passion.
Yeah.
You're advocating for your child.
Exactly. So at the end of the meeting, we ended the meeting, and I said I would not accept it, and that I wasn't okay, and I wanted them to evaluate it with data. Show me the data. So they put a plan forth. I had a second meeting with the BCBA, who consults to the team, because the BCBA hadn't collected any data about why they were going to reduce my hours, and a different person because they didn't think it would be, they thought it would be best if I worked with someone other than the case manager to move forward. I took it all the way up to the district because I also wanted it to be on record that I was unhappy with the plan and that if I'm not happy with the plan, to be prepared as I was going to go to mediation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I'm not just,
that
I wasn't
process,
just saying
you go to mediation if you disagree with the plan.
If you disagree with the plan and we can't come to a resolution between the school and myself, we go to mediation.
Okay.
And I was ready to go to mediation. Like I was not okay with the plan. So they did the data. They showed me that when we were still in post-COVID era of not having to be near kids and all of that, that he was doing fine, which I never debated that whether or not he was going to do fine or not, and that we would reduce him to 2 hours of para time instead of, no, 1 hour down to three. And then if that was successful, 1 hour down to two, and that was going to be at the end of the school year. So we went through the process. I was okay with the process. And then I called my, this brought us all the way to the end of the school year. And then I called my PPT right at the beginning of the next school year and continued. Now, the story does not end well for William because that was third grade. And in fourth grade, he was in 14 seclusions this year. Could I predict that? My answer is yes.
Seclusions meaning?
So he gets put into a room with no windows when he is a risk to his peers or to the adults around him until he can calm down. And because they didn't know how to handle him, because he no longer has a one-to-one, he now has a two-to-one, and not for all day. And he has a new special education teacher this year who was handed off everything that happens at the end of the school year, but I wouldn't say that I blame her. Like, we had to start all over again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because that's where I tell you from the beginning when we said, like, I had a teacher that I met with who then left, and then a sub who then transitioned to a permanent person. Well, in this experience, it was for the good because that special education teacher left, and I got a new teacher to start fresh. Mm-hmm. So in this year, he was reassessed and reevaluated top to bottom because clearly the service plan wasn't working for him.
Right.
And so we have been having a much more successful end of the school year, but we had to get through some.
Well, it's like a catch-22 with the school systems when they try to reduce services, where you have to try it their way, basically, and let it fail.
To prove them wrong?
Exactly. So then you have so much more to go back when you're at the table, saying, okay, I've tried it your way. Clearly it's not working. So it's but sadly...
For the child's expense.
It's the child. Yeah. Exactly.
How is he doing? So you said he had a better end of school. So today he's in a much better place.
Today he's in a much better place.
That's awesome.
That's a very happy ending to that story because I was getting angry over here. I'm not as mom.
Right.
Yes. Well, and it depends on your team. And you have to have a team that's willing to work with you. And this team this year was fantastic. And I've told them that. They work with our outside provider who provides therapy to him. He is in group every week. He is in therapy every week. He has a great special education teacher who understands him and has pullouts with her. When the services come together, the school can really provide you with what you need. But when you have a team that doesn't understand him, it can really fall apart really quickly.
So just... all of this is just amazing, and you are very inspiring. Mm-hmm. So to close out, what would be your, and I know this could be difficult, but what would be your top three things you would tell other parents for the elementary school years?
What a good question.
Say we should have sent you the notes ahead of time.
One is never believe that you're wrong. If you think that your gut is that you're right about your child. Mm-hmm. Don't give up. Mm-hmm. It's really important to feel empowered to advocate for your child. Two is don't go at it alone. Mm-hmm. Bring your friend, bring your husband, bring your friend and your husband. That's what I do. because sometimes when you're in that flustered state, just to have another person that you trust who's listening next to you, you drive home afterwards and say, was that crazy? Like, what did you think of this point? What did you think of that point? And, you know, there's times when I've been told, you know, maybe that wasn't, you know, as important. But in your head, sometimes you're just really fixated on a point. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to bounce those ideas off of it. And my third thing is be ready to start over every school year. yes, it might be the same next year, but don't go in thinking that things are on solid ground. Go in thinking, let me make sure we're on solid ground, mm-hmm. because things will change. Your regular education teacher does change. Sometimes your special education teacher changes. Sometimes your principal changes. Right. I've had all of that. Mm-hmm. And I now know I'm ready for next year, not because I know what's going to happen, but I know who I'm going to talk to. And I'm going to go in with a positive attitude. And we go in with a question. What's this year going to look like? I know we closed out with a PPT and I know how we landed, but let's start again and see how this year is going to look.
That's awesome. Paula, yes. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy day and just giving this great information to share with other families.
Well, it was a pleasure and happy to be of help any other time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
As always, you can find our podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Spotify, and Sarah Inc.'s website. Our podcast is designed to help you find the resources you need for children and adults with intellectual and/or developmental disabilities or delays. If you have a topic you want to learn more about, let us know. We would love to hear from you.